First, let's find out what's been making headlines this week with Tony Allen. And Tony, again, more budget fallout.
Yes, Libby, the Rural Doctors Association says it's already hearing reports that some regional patients are avoiding the doctor because they believe the $7 Medicare co-payment has already been introduced. Now, we're also hearing that in the cities from the AMA, but what's significant in the country is that a lot of country towns don't have bulk billing at all, so people are already paying $60 or so to go to the doctor and only getting about half that in the Medicare rebate. So it's going to cost people significantly more in the country, but the Rural Doctors Association's Jenny Johnson says that even worse than the co-payment, in her opinion, could be the axing of a rural placements program for medical students, which could mean fewer young doctors get rural work experience.
As we understand it, the funding will be diverted to extra GP registrars. But those GP registrars have actually decided that general practice is a career path for them. Whereas if we have interns and junior doctors, they may not have decided on their career path, and a positive rural experience might be just what they need to make them interested in rural general practice.
Now, any talk of changes to the GST has farmers very nervous about the possibility of bringing in on fresh food.
Yes, we do know that this week Senator Ian McDonald, a coalition senator from Queensland, caused a bit of a kerfuffle by suggesting that the GST could be broadened to include fresh food, as was originally intended before John Howard had to do a deal with the Democrats to abolish it on fresh food. Well, Tony Abbott has rejected that idea. He says we pay enough taxes already. But the fruit and vegetable industry and the dairy industry, and in fact the National Farmers Federation itself, are very wary of any suggestion that fresh food should come under the GST, because at the moment a lot of things like dairy products, sugar, meat, fruit and veggies are exempt from the 10% tax. The president of Australian Dairy Farmers, Noel Campbell, says putting a GST on fresh food would deter people from making healthier choices at the supermarket.
We've got quite a concern that fresh foods in general that are highly nutritious, like dairy is, that it would put consumers in a position where they would perhaps consume a product that was less nutritious than a dairy product or any other fresh product.
Now, around Australia, there are what are called cooperative research centres, and a lot of agricultural research is done in those centres, and they've lost $80 million in funding.
Yes, the Parliamentary Secretary for Industry, Bob Baldwin, went into the lion's den this week by addressing the annual Cooperative Research Centres Association conference in Perth. $80 million has been cut from the CRC budgets over 4 years, which means the next round of applications to establish new research centres is not going ahead. But Mr. Baldwin said the government did support CRC still. The government will still invest nearly $70 million in the centres over that 4 years. And while the next funding round has been scrapped, he's promised there will be a new funding round after the system has been reviewed. He says CRCs need to work towards being self-sustaining, that is raising their own funds, and taxpayers need to get a better bang for their buck from CRC investment.
We are not walking away from CRCs. We are investing in them. There will be future rounds. We're also looking at bringing CRCs together that provide a greater benefit, such as what we've done with the advanced manufacturing. The funding that has been provided isn't there forever.
And we already have a town in New South Wales that's pulling together a Green Army.
The Green Army starts in July, and the Landcare movement has criticised it, because saying that the public's going to be paying the Green Army to do the same tasks Landcare volunteers do for free. And coinciding with the start of the Green Army is a cut in Landcare funding. But for those who are trying to set the Green Army up, they think it's going to work pretty well. One of them is Skillset at Bathurst in central western New South Wales. It's a regional service provider. It's lodged a tender to put together a local Green Army. It says there are loads of jobs lined up. They could even help farmers sign up with a carbon farming scheme. Skillset sustainability manager Ashley Bland says he's got a really diverse list of jobs his Green Army troops could get on with.
The sorts of projects we've identified are things like erosion control, could be supporting community nurseries, visitor facilities with parks and gardens, and also I'd love to see teams out there doing surveys and monitoring work. And wouldn't it be exciting if they could actually help landholders become equipped for the carbon farming initiative?
Now, I did inquire about this, Tony, and we can't join the Green Army, and they haven't got a grey army yet. You have to be under 25, so sadly not for us. Now, what's happening in the coal mining industry? More job losses?
Well, one of the reasons the budget has to be so tough is because the government's not getting the revenue from the resources industry that it used to. And the Minerals Council of Australia has confirmed that the downturn in the coal price has led to a total of 10,000 coal mine jobs being lost in the past 2 years. That's about 20% of the workforce. Some of the latest ones, 500 Hunter Valley workers in New South Wales were being laid off by the company Integra. It's put two mines into maintenance. And between 50 and 300 Illawarra jobs are uncertain because the Wollongong Coal Company, owned by an Indian company, is moving to cut costs. It's a slowdown in Chinese steelmaking that's pushing down the coking coal prices. So the Minerals Council Chief Executive Brendan Pearson says more world coal production, the strong Australian dollar and increased costs like the carbon tax are also hurting.
All of our companies are feeling the pain of the carbon tax. It's about $800 million a year imposed on the Australian coal sector, and not a single competitor abroad pays the carbon tax. Not a single coal-producing country applies a comparable carbon tax on its coal sector.
And of course, the flow-on effect is that students studying engineering are pretty worried about their future.
Yes, Bradken Engineering in the New South Wales Hunter Valley is restructuring because demand for its mining gear has fallen. It makes a whole range of things and it's chopping 500 jobs. That's 10% of its very large workforce. Bradken says it can manufacture cheaper in China. Where have we heard that before? Well, the engineering students going through at the moment, they actually need work experience to get their degrees. So they're pretty concerned about that. One of them we spoke to was Andrew Vanderkall. He's a fourth-year engineering student at Wollongong University, and he says there are fewer internships to apply for.
Definitely quite concerned. They're one of the largest companies in Australia, and other companies have already had issues with hiring for summer workplace experience, and that just makes it harder to finish the degree. I was looking to get a graduate position, but without being able to graduate at the end of the year, it's impossible to get that.
Now, most people wouldn't realise that the weather conditions actually affect the quality of wool, and we're getting tender wool. That sounds as if it'd be nice, but it actually means it's weak and can break.
Well, drought can be bad for farming, rain can be bad for farming, and when one follows the other, that can be bad too. What has happened in New South Wales is they had months of dry weather, a drought in many areas, and then on the tablelands they had an autumn break, that is, quite heavy rainfall, in February this year. That's normally good for farming, but it's going to lead to an oversupply of poor quality wool, or so-called tender wool, by spring. Tim Marweedle is from the wool exporter G. Schneider, and he says it was that move from the extremely dry to suddenly wet conditions that affected the sheep's ability to digest feed.
The sheep have got a lot more nutrition, but for the first 6 months of their growing period, they had very poor nutrition, and then they got a flush of green feed, and that will certainly affect the quality, in our opinion. If you don't eat anything for a week and then you hop into a big roast dinner, I'd imagine that you'd lose some hair as well. So it's where the fibre breaks is at that point where the nutrition changes.
Is that what you've been doing, Tony? Okay. Sorry, that was mean.
I've been starving myself then eating roast dinner. That's yes. Where my hair's gone, yes.
The dry has resulted into a lot more cattle going into feedlots.
Yes, well, this is not a surprise that the paddocks haven't been good enough to fatten the cattle up, and the number of cattle in feedlots has reached the highest level in 7 years. There are now 874,000 cattle in feedlots at the moment. That's up 8% on the March quarter. That's nearly a million cattle being effectively artificially fed. But it's not just the dry weather that's doing it. There's a strong demand overseas, and the Lot Feeders Association President Don Mackay says that's one of the things that's driving the surge to feedlots.
There's a generally strong demand for all beef, but particularly grain-fed beef, into international and domestic markets. So there's a strong demand sort of pull into the feedlot sector, and these numbers reflect what was occurring pre the sort of rain that we had in the early autumn.
Now, there's been an upturn in the international dairy market, so much so that Australia's largest processor is investing a lot of money in capital investment in factories.
Yeah, Murray Goulburn is the largest dairy company in Australia. It owns the Devondale brand. But at the moment, when it's sending stuff like cheese overseas, it just makes whopping great blocks and ships them off, and they get chopped up when they get to whatever country they're going to and sold.
Are they kind of labelled whopping great block?
Oh, possibly. That's the official cheese name. It's spending $91 million upgrading the Cobram factory in northern Victoria to create and package products for sale. So they're going to make things like sliced cheese, milk powder, specifically with the Devondale brand, and send it off here. So that's, as Managing Director Gary Helou says, they want to export higher value products.
We're not going to win the global dairy foods battle by selling commodity. That's not what consumers want, what customers want. As Asia gets rich, consumers are looking for value-add products, customised dairy foods to their taste, to their packaging, to their food requirements. Unless you have the manufacturing footprint in Australia that's connected to these requirements, you're not going to cut it.
Who said cheese slices were dead?
Now, Cocos Island isn't somewhere I think of as being farming country.
Well, no, it isn't. And if you want fruit and veggies, you've got to pay about $13 for a single lettuce, because all produce has to be flown in from the mainland. But Monash University in Western Australia has been carrying out an agricultural trial on the Cocos Keeling Islands in the Indian Ocean. And they've just returned from assessing a variety of crops they've grown there, including sorghum, chia and guar. And Professor John Howison says these new crops are going very well. A few others like quinoa didn't work too well, but these ones are going well and could support a wider food chain on the islands.
Apart from direct food into the supermarkets there, we're also looking at how to kickstart the supply chain of agricultural products. So we could certainly turn the sorghum and the guar into chook feed, goat feed, fish feed, all the basic feedstuffs for other animals.
Victoria's beautiful King Valley is becoming the Valley of Vino?
Yes, there's a Italian migrant heritage in the King Valley. I think the Brown Brothers is the most well-known winery that's at the end of the valley, but there's a lot of smaller Italian family-owned businesses up the valley producing wine, and they have been working on Italian grape varieties. And the Valley is 1 year into a five-year study to discover the characteristics and best places to grow Sangiovese grapes. Now, this is used in things like Chianti and is very popular at the Italian bottle shops in the capital cities, but it's hard to get an Australian Sangiovese. John Darling is the president of the King Valley Vignerons, and he says he thinks the work on Sangiovese is going to add to the work they've already put in with other Italian varieties.
We've been very successful with both Prosecco and Pinot Grigio in developing those varieties as synonymous with the valley, and we're trying to now extend that to Sangiovese.
Now, when I was a kid growing up in South Australia, whenever we went across the Gulf to the York Peninsula, we'd have to wear those plastic shoes when we went on the beach because of the huge cuttlefish, and indeed the giant cuttlefish are returning to Spencer Gulf.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mystery why they went away in the first place, but
me in those shoes.
They've been absent for a few years. They can weigh up to 10 kilos, and this year hundreds of them have come back to their traditional breeding grounds in the Spencer Gulf, and nobody quite knows why they went away, nobody quite knows why they came back, but they're very popular for the tourism industry because you can see them on dive tours. One of the operators is Tony Bramley, and he says he's mystified as anybody else, but it's great to see the cuttlefish back.
Well, you know, really, I'm going to stop predicting anything because I can't explain why those numbers were better this year. I really did expect virtually nothing. So, as I said, it's good to be wrong.
And there's money in flies, Tony?
Yes. In Western Australia, scientists are breeding millions of sterile fruit flies. This sounds like a fascinating thing to do, a fascinating way to spend your life, and they're not even going to use them in Western Australia. They're sending them to South Australia to control an outbreak at Selix Beach near Adelaide. Now, these Mediterranean fruit flies apparently outbreed the fertile ones, so they get to the other sex first, and they breed and they don't produce any baby flies, and it all works to keep the population down. But Bill Woods from the WA Agriculture and Food Department says sterile flies are not cheap.
South Australia was paying $5,000 for a million. There is money in flies. We just wish we could sell them at Bunnings and then we could retire.
Fantastic. I have this vision of scientists in white coats trying to surgically remove the reproductive systems of the male and female flies.
Actually, what they do is they put them in this radiation device and they zap them with radiation to make them sterile.
Glad I'm not a fly for so many reasons. Tony Allen, thank you.